All right, I have an answer to my question coming up here in just a moment. 216-474-0092. If it comes to a trade, I don't think that there's much of a trade market for any one of these four guys. I wouldn't want to trade Shedeur Sanders. I wouldn't want to trade Dylan Gabriel. I know there's some people think that you're wasted away. They like Dylan Gabriel enough to try to draft him in the third round. I don't want to trade Dylan Gabriel away. I'll see what he has. I don't want to trade Shedeur Sanders away. I'll see what he has. That's a flyer. Kenny Pickett, you traded a fifth-round pick in DTR for. They clearly like him somewhat. All right, fine. Because I don't think what team in the NFL is going to lose their starter or anybody, backup or anything, and go, we got to have Kenny Pickett. Because what was the question when the Browns traded for Kenny Pickett? Why would they want Kenny Pickett? Yeah, same thing with a lot of teams. Especially if you've already got a draft that you've been through. Other free agents have been signed. These teams would probably go with their other guys or with their rookies. When it comes to Joe Flacco, what are you giving up for a 40-year-old guy? You're not giving up much. So I'll see what I have with the four guys. Again, my issue has always been clear. You're trying to start to win football games, which some people go, well, it's a tank season. That's why you just cut Oboe Okoronkwo. You probably cut Oboe Okoronkwo. I don't think it's just because of money. A lot of people brought up money. They got the money. I think that they want to see what Isaiah McGuire has, and you got to see what he can do in football games, and I think they want to see what if Alex Wright is healthy, if he can help out. And they do like that Cam Thomas guy. They do like him. So we'll see what they do with it. And you got Shoyinsky. Yeah. Shoyinka. Yeah. Sorry.
What did you say, Shoyinsky?
Shinsky, I'm not sure.
Owen, can we get a replay on that?
I'm a football guy, all right? I'm not a name guy. I'm a football guy, damn it. But I think that I don't think it's a tanking thing per se. I think that they were like, well, we can get as good an output and we can give these guys the reps and the experience and the play. But when it comes to the quarterbacks, like, all right, I still want to start Joe Flacco for the season. I imagine they're probably going to go with Kenny Pickett and upset me. Okay? I'm used to them upsetting me. I'd rather go with Joe Flacco because I want to do right by the vets that are in the locker room. You got plenty of games where you can see what guys have. I at least want to try to start the season on the right foot. But then again, I should say, I don't know how much of a good job Kenny Pickett's doing in that locker room to become a leader in that locker room and a logical guy that can take over the starting reins of this football team. I'll have to be open-minded coming up next month, Daryl.
I don't know how any of these guys can be a leader in the locker room, but this has been a problem that this franchise has had to deal with for years and years and years. I'd say the last quarterback that you could argue was a leader in the locker room or tried to be a leader in the locker room was Baker. But then you get into the quality of the leader in the locker room.
But in that 2021 season, you know they lost that faith in him.
Yeah.
For a million different reasons. Well, not for a million different reasons, but for two very big reasons. They lost that faith in him in that year, and it's cost us ever since.
Yeah, absolutely. But, to your point, look, you can sell Joe Flacco to the fans. I don't know that you can really sell Kenny Pickett to the fans. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know starting either one of these quarterbacks. I've said it's football malpractice to put one of these rookies out there week one. I just don't think that's the way to go. I don't think either one of these guys is NFL starter ready just yet. But when you watch both these rookies on the practice field, Ken, you see why the Browns were interested in both players.
Yeah.
You see the raw talent.
Yeah.
But the key word there is raw. It's raw talent. It's not polished by any stretch of the imagination. That goes for Dylan Gabriel just as much as it goes for Shedeur Sanders. Look, the odds seem to favor that Kenny Pickett would be the guy. I honestly don't know what they see in Kenny Pickett. I watched him for 2 years with the Steelers. Now, the excuse has been, well, he had Matt Canada as the OC, and they couldn't run that guy out of Pittsburgh fast enough, and that was an unmitigated disaster. And if you look at Kenny, he's got 6-7 comeback victories so with the Steelers there in the fourth quarter, so he seems to have something there, even though the first three quarters are an abomination. I don't know if there's going to be any tangible answer to come out of the quarterback situation this season.
My problem with Kenny Pickett, and I'll find out this year. Maybe they'll hopefully prove me wrong on this, is the whole, like, we've had a couple of people on, and they've brought up, you know, how Mike Tomlin lied, the quote, lied to Kenny Pickett about the offense. And Matt Canada doesn't know what he's doing as an offensive play caller. Again, there's a couple of guys in this league, or in football in general, that if you put something out of them about social media, you will get a list of coaches lining up on your phone to rip that guy. And the list is short, but Matt Canada's on that list.
Where him and Hugh Jackson.
I said something nice about Matt Canada one time, and my phone lit up, and I go, good God almighty. He is not well-liked amongst a lot of coaches for a plethora of reasons we don't have to get into. But what I wonder about, and this could be true coaching malpractice over on there, he was a first-round pick. You're supposed to do what you can to support a first-round pick. You've made a declaration to the entire world you believe in this man in a first-round pick. I know there's a lot of fans that want to pretend like we've made this great declaration to the world that we love Shedeur Sanders. Day three is day three. I don't give a damn what anybody says. When you take a guy like that, you've made this declaration. So I'm assuming right now, or I've assumed for a while, that he didn't do himself any favors. He didn't help out. And I know they ripped him out the door, and there's been plenty of people to try to dispel that. I'm willing to still give him a chance. You know, I don't hate Kenny Pickett. I don't think he's going to be a very great quarterback, but I don't hate the guy. But I go under the assumption that it's their job to know more than I do. And some of the stuff with the OTAs, it's fun to talk about. I find it to be kind of fun and kind of entertaining, but I leave it there. There's stuff that they're looking for that we think we're looking for, and it's not what they care about. They care about when we did OTA stuff, they care about the nomenclature, what they know, what they can say, what they can repeat as far as the play call, not sending guys to the wrong spots, the proper coverages or the proper schemes for the offensive linemen. That's what they care about. That's why this whole stuff, well, he was 7 for 9 and 2 touchdowns. They don't give a bleep about any of that.
No, they don't.
Well, look at his mechanics from where it was. They're trying to work on mechanics. I don't think you can just fix mechanics in 4 months, especially when you don't have a pass rush coming after you. So you got to dip them in hot water again, in the words of Sam Ritigliano. You won't be able to do that until the preseason games. Those things are so far less. The one with the completions, yeah, you want to be able to complete passes, but you want to make sure that they're running the right routes. And that's where it comes into the know how able you are to pick it up, how likely you are to pick it up after working at it. Can you do it? Can you do it where they can trust you to try to do it on your own? That's what they care about at that juncture. And when we get into training camp, like Daryl's right, there's going to be a whole lot of things that they work on at the same time because they have so many different guys that they have to get reps to. And you don't want to just have Shedeur Sanders thrown to the back end of your wide receiver room because your wide receiver room ain't that great to begin with.
Or so just standing around for half the practice.
You don't want him standing around for half the practice. So there will be times where Shedeur Sanders throws to Jerry Jeudy, and there will be times where he throws to the kid from Kent State. There will be times where Kenny Pickett does the same, and I'm sure Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel do the same. So I'm going to be open-minded about all of them as best I possibly can. There's guys I do want to see do well. I'm dead on. I want to see Shedeur Sanders be able to someday take the job. But I'm not going to say he doesn't have to earn it. He has to earn it. I don't think I have to see him in a football game at the end of the season. So many people get confused by that, and I think you're as desperate as any team is for a starting quarterback. If they can't earn the job, then they've told you without you having to see anything that that guy sucks and is not an NFL quarterback. Because if you can't play for this team, you're not a starting caliber quarterback at all in the NFL. I want to see him because I think he could be a big star, and I think it's a great story, and I don't mind Shedeur Sanders whatsoever. I got to see it first. I'll be open-minded towards all of them. Yeah, there's guys I'm rooting for, but I'll give them all a chance. Joe, even in as much as I want to start the season, I'll tell you this, Joe, or Daryl, as much as I want to see Joe start the season, I think he has less of a chance. I want to give him less of a chance. He's 40 years old. So what's my future? I don't have one with him.
Look how they handled the mandatory minicamp. I'm sorry. First 2 days, Dylan Gabriel got the reps early on. The first reps of the team periods. And then on day three, they're like, okay, Joe, go ahead and go out there.
Yeah. So there's some guy off East 55th at a stoplight right now going, well, why do you want to give Joe a chance in the first place? Well, if they do believe in Joe and they do win some games, and this is more than likely not very unlikely going to happen, if they do win some games, well, then you see how far you can go with Joe. If you find yourself in a position where you're winning football games and heading to the playoffs and none of these other three guys, it's not like it's a first-round guy. There's a difference in the expectation there. If none of these other three guys can unseat him, then yeah, go with Joe for the rest of the year, and we'll figure it out after that. It's the same way the Steelers do it, except they're guaranteeing Aaron Rodgers as a starter. But you're going to go as far as you can with the old guy, and then when the wheels do naturally fall off, because they will. Okay, then let's see what we got with the other ones, with Kenny or with the pups, and we'll see what they do. What's the biggest problem with the Guardians right now? Around the room.
They can't hit a baseball.
That's one.
They can't field the baseball?
Oh, is that the same thing with you have?
No offense.
Well, no. Don't be guessing at the biggest problem. I want to know your biggest problem with the Guardians right now, Daryl. That's nuh-uh.
Their offense puts me in a coma. That's my biggest problem. They're not, they can't hit. They're not entertaining to watch at all.
Can't even get into a position to manufacture a run.
Yeah. I think my problem is any semblance of consistency and the lack thereof. You have a day where you have a pitcher who, you have a guy like Tanner Bibee who goes into the seventh inning and you get mad at Stephen Vogt for leaving him in for the seventh inning. But I have a lot of promise in him. Then I have a day like yesterday where the wheels come off and it ain't even Tanner Bibee's fault really in the third inning because Kyle Manzardo goes and plays defense with no arms. I don't even put that as much on Tanner Bibee as I do everybody else. You have no consistency in fielding. I've been bitching about, everybody's been bitching about hitting for since the original core broke up years and years and years ago. That's going to be part of it. I wish they were better offensively. I got no consistency. Last year, when they were much better last year, I don't think that they were some murderer's row of a lineup, but they were aggressive in their approach.
Get them on, get them over, get them
in. And that's part of the reason that so many people got upset with Andrés Giménez, is that you had all these guys who were going after it and were very aggressive at the plate and wanted to know and didn't want to leave strikes out there that they just watched go by. And then I had a tentative guy out there who was kind of afraid of the baseball. And that's, don't take that from me, that's Zach Meisel, who's coming up at 7:40 this morning. Like, I think my biggest issue is if you have a good day hitting, you have a terrible day fielding. Or like yesterday, you had a terrible day both. You have a good day pitching one day, your bullpen's bad. You have a good bullpen, but your starting rotation was terrible, so you had to make up after that. Very rarely, Emmanuel Clase, as good as he could possibly be, or now we got a problem with our closer role, and we only have about another month before we have to figure out whether or not we can trade him. There's very little consistency out of it. If they were playing with any bit more consistency, they'd be a little bit over 500. I think that this is kind of who they are. And what also makes it frustrating is that when I don't have any consistency, I'm wondering where the pups are. I'm wondering where the guys are from AAA.